Well, thank you very much. I'm having an extended birthday. Birthday was actually on the 14th. So we went up to see Harry and with my parents in Reading. And then this last 3 days I've had with my brother-in-law in Compton Verney, which is in the Midlands, playing outside on a lake, doing a big art installation, which is really very good fun and completely different to my being here. And then next weekend we're having the whole family again in the same place, but the whole family finishing off that. And then there may be some other parties as well, joining in with some other 50-year-olds that you may know about. That might come later in the year when they become 52, because we're all in the same school year, these friends of mine. Anyway, that's a little mystery for you to work out. So thank you very much. And it is good fun. People have said to me, congratulations. Well, thank you. That's it's God's grace that we're here at all in the first place, and that we're still here in the as well. It is by God's grace. So thank him, really. I mean, it's, we just carry on, don't we, until we stop. So thank you. Now, how about this? This is all a bit awkward, isn't it? So you have a woman preaching that stuff earlier. We will come on to that. And if I don't get onto it, make sure you poke me. But first of all, I want three volunteers to stand up here. And what they're going to do is hold each other's hands. Just need to be any three people. You work out that amongst yourselves. One, two, that's good. Three. Okay, so you just need to hold hands and face it. Just hold hands. Each one, all three of you holding hands. And if they look straight ahead, what do they see? A space in between. What's beyond that space? Walls, and what's beyond the walls? The Winchester and the ends of the earth. Yeah. Okay, so they're not particularly looking at each other. It's the space in between. Now, just imagine if this were God. So God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's a threesome. It's a triangle. Yeah, that's what we have here. And that means that, so in exactly the same way, God is looking out and beyond himself. So there he is up in heaven, and he sends his son down, and he's led by the Spirit. It's not going to be a sermon about the Trinity, because that's in a few months' time probably. But we can see that God looks out, but he's also holding hands with himself, with the three parts of the Trinity. So in a way, what we are as church, as the wider church we were talking about, John was talking about, I did hear a sermon a few days ago that was actually about this being the church. And I think Danny was saying a little while ago, and what I believe is actually the church is much bigger than this church. This is just a mere small tiny congregation of the church. And it's not even about being Baptist, it's much bigger than that. And that's only a part of God's kingdom. So he's wanting us all to be like this, looking out and beyond. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're talking about worship now. Okay, thank you everybody. This is a strange bit of the Bible, because we're looking at Paul in this place called Corinth. Thank you, that was something else I've been reading. And I think Danny explained to us a few weeks ago that Corinth was a whole mishmash of these cultures that were coming together in from all these different parts of the world. And I don't know if you've seen the series that Joanna Lumley's done about the Silk Route recently. There's a lovely series, and she's in her particular style, which is fabulous. She goes and makes What a perfect thing for her to be researching. You know, it's not a beer trail or anything like that. It's silk. All of these places along the route have bits of culture from all ends of either end of the route and all the bits in the middle. And this place is just like that. And within that we've got some Jews. Now let's tidy this question up here, because Paul is speaking to a group of people in a place, and in that place there were certain customs and ways of doing things that needed to fit with the culture within which they were, and it was not appropriate in that culture at that time for the women to be standing up and making a big noise like all the men do. Now we can place some thoughts about that culture, and we may have some thoughts about that culture because we have a different culture at the moment here, where that seems to be quite at odds with how we feel we're being led to live now. That doesn't mean that all that we're doing is good and right, and that's something we need to weigh. Does that make sense? Does that tidy that up enough? Please engage with that question, because I don't want to move on from here without us being happy with that. Does it make sense?
Yes, but what were the reasons that women had that more submissive role at that time?
I don't know enough about it to completely answer that. And that's other than yeah, there are. Yeah.
Wasn't it a very patriarchal society where the men were figured to be the ones who would speak out, and very much the wife's role was to be homekeeper? It was much more unusual to have a woman in charge in the same way that the men were. That's the impression I had about it.
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah.
But I think probably Danny's got a lot more background to that, so he might be able to answer.
He would be able to answer this more specifically and carefully. I think what one could say is that in... I was talking to a Russian minister a few weeks ago, and I was asking him about the relationship between father and son. And he was saying in their culture, the women do all of the childcare and everything until... The children become a bit old, come to their 7 or 8, I think it was, and at that point they start to have a relationship with him. Well, for us here, for me personally, I don't like that. You know, I'm my children's father from inception. So that, you know, I feel I want a relationship with him all the way through. But that's just a different culture. One can also look at, Paul writes about in other places how the women were really key players in the new church that was being created. So I don't think we can take that particular snippet as being a carte blanche, this is how it is for everybody everywhere. But that does, and the reason for keeping it in what we're reading today, because it wasn't meant to be a place of confusion for us at all, it's to understand that this church, or group, congregation really, was in a culture and needed to engage with the culture around it. So we have some strange things. We have lots of speaking in tongues. And we have a bit of prophecy going on here and there. And Paul sort of says, look, this speaking in tongues stuff is confusing for people. It may sound great, but if you imagine back to our little group we had here a moment ago, it's as if there was nobody outside that would matter. It was all very internal. and the people were speaking in tongues and making lovely noises to God as if they were the only people in the room and that was it. And the only people that mattered was their relationship with me and hit God, and that's it. And he's trying to say, no, let's be looking outwards here. Let's make sure we're engaging with the people around us. Because actually, what I really want you to do is if you come out here again, you three, is to hold hands, but with your backs to each other. Okay, so the relationship is still happening between them, but their view is outwards. And that's what we're to be. So this is worship. When we come together as a church, as a congregation in this place, I'm going to try and be distinctive about that. When we come together as a congregation in this place, our worship is to be like this. So that the rest of the world around us doesn't have to try and break in and work out what on earth are they doing. Okay, thank you. Now, just to say, and this kind of adds into Eric's little point about what testimony we might have. A couple of weeks ago, I'm in the bar doing monies and numbers and things with Neil. And you may have met Neil. Neil was at Danny's induction and told stories, and that was fabulous. Peter's not working here anymore, so we kind of team starting to work out how to do things, and he was quite sort of about various things, but he said, because he was here on the Sunday doing the monies first thing in the morning, and he just said it was so lovely to hear your worship. So there's something about the Spirit of God that does go out and beyond into people from us as we go out into the world. So there's something special about what happens here, even where the tiny little few numbers we are and declining size of churches generally and all of that, there is still something very precious and beautiful about that, those hands joined together worshipping God. Now, let's have a look at this, because this is all going all over. I'm going to step back a moment here. 1 Corinthians 14 comes after 1 Corinthians, which is all about love. And it's what you hear at weddings. In fact, that's what we heard at a wedding the other day, I think. Yeah, that's not. It is a wedding. It's lovely for weddings, but that's, but it's so much more than that. It really is. It's about every part of life. And if you think about these, if this were God standing here holding hands with each part of God, it's all about His love for looking out and being there out into the world. So let's think about this congregation is to be about love and exuding love in all the possible ways it can. Love, because it's holding hands with God, love with God who's with us, but love for each other because we're in relationship with one another, but love outwards to the world around us. That is a beautiful thing. And people do know it, and they do see it. And when we talk about, when we've had events here, and we've had invited friends or people in the community, they know there's something different about the way we hold hands. Because we do work really well together as a team. We make things happen gracefully and in love. And they notice that. They see it happening just as the Christmas meal or something like that. You just see how the people, they're not trying to get anything over and above anybody else. They're not sitting back or just letting everybody else get on with it. They know their part and they take their part. We were talking about parts of the body the other week. That's how, and it does happen. It absolutely happens in this congregation, in this fellowship. And people do see it. It's a beautiful thing. That's good. So there's love. And it's outward looking. We do, however, have a culture that we then attempted to create. And this was the problem which the Corinthians had got into. They'd got into habits of how they were going to worship God. And there would be lots of noise. If you read it, it sounds a noisy noisy group of people all prophesying and shouting and hollering to God and making lots of noise. And it all being a bit of a babble and a commotion. So he thinks, look, I've got to get some order into this lot because it's a mess. People coming in, they just think, what on earth are you all doing? It's confusing babble going on. And so he says, look, two, maybe three at the most should prophesy. Now, do we take that as actually for the rest of time, for all other congregations in the world, that is all we're allowed to do? Two and possibly three people can stand up and say what God is doing, or this is a message from God that I'm feeling God saying. Is that something that we should take as absolute truth of something we now need to do? That's not the point he's trying to make. It may have been the point he was trying to make to the Corinthians at the time, because they needed just to draw it in a little bit and think of the people outside. Now, there may be some things that we need to look at in our own practice as to what that becomes for other people. And it may be nothing to do with the fact that we have lots of people speaking in tongues, because we don't hear that very often. Maybe we should. We don't have lots of people giving prophecies, but we may have other things that are going to be difficult for us to even know about, because it's part of what we do every week or whatever it is in the practice of our congregation, that we need to just give a little care to about how that comes across to other people. So and there is a big because here. He's looking for people to show, to gain understanding. So this relationship which we have amongst us, that's great. And it's showing this love we all have. But how are people growing, and how are people who are observing this going to grow and understand? And there comes what discipleship is. Eric talked about leading the Bible study the other day. And at that time, it's really important for those people who take part in that, that they are growing in their faith and growing in their discipleship. They're following Jesus. Because as they follow Jesus, and Jesus is wanting them to make disciples in amongst the people that they are with, in their various parts of life, they then are drawing people to him and showing him, here is this one person I know, Jesus. He has made such a difference in my life that means I can live with this lot and be a blessing and show that love that I have in me, and to display that. Now, when we begin to understand, that starts to do something not just in our hearts but in our minds. Now, a little while ago I was talking a lot about how we need to be careful about our hearts, and our hearts are the core of us, that's what drives us. But we do need to use our minds, and our minds, with the teaching and the learning that we gain, we then make decisions about how we live. So within the congregation, there needs to be that constant learning of what is God saying to us and how do I understand and how do I grow closer to him. And that happens for those people who come and look and see what is God saying. There's something going on in that group of people. They're learning or getting something somehow. I want to know more. And therefore, they come and they have the conviction of God that God is amongst them and is changing their lives. And it's God that is changing people, not the people changing people. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes on people and they are convicted of what they should do about how they should then learn to live. And a beautiful thing then happens. They're released from their own trying to make it work to letting God help them make it work. And that's just wonderful. Because all of the pain and struggle of life can be released from us. And they will only get that if they can get what's going on. So that the way we are as a fellowship, displaying that love outwardly, is that invitation to come and see this Jesus who can really help us. Couple of last little points. Talks a lot about building the church. So Paul says, look, okay, so one or two of you might say something. Is it going to build up the church, the congregation, the fellowship of people? Is it going to build it up? And what's it building it up to do? It's building it up to stand and love the world around it, facing outwards. That's making disciples and loving the world. Is it going to build them up to do that? Or is it going to make them want to stand and look inwards? So everything we try and do together is for that outward looking, outward facing, outward looking worship, not an inward. This is a nice cozy place. And really, that's it, really. What have we said? It's about loving God, or it's about receiving and understanding everything we do in love. It's about outward facing, looking out and being joined with each other in looking outwards. And it's about understanding what God is saying to us, and for other people who are looking at us, seeing that God is someone they need to and want to understand, and to be able to take on what he's saying to them, and then make that change in their own lives. Yes, this is something that I can give up myself to and want to join in with. And know that peace that comes through that relationship, and for building us up to do that. Now, here is a little notice which joins in with all of this. The church leaders were thinking the other day, we're going to have a few changes amongst the diaconate, and we're looking for someone else to join that group of people to help us in where the church is going to get to. At the end of this month, we've got, which is only a week or two away, we've been having a time where we're praying as a church as to where the church is going, and what God is calling us to, because things are changing about the world around us and the community we're living in, and how can we best be placed to be standing with our hands together looking outwards. How can we now do that? And we need some more help on the leadership team. And I would encourage you, as part of your praying, to think, not necessarily, yes, I could do that, because that might not be for your call, but that we together can learn what God is calling us to do, and for the help that we need in that. So I'll just put that to you. What we need to do now, we're going to finish with a hymn, or song rather, When the Music Fades. And I think the story about this song is that, is it Matt Redman? Yeah. I think his church, they actually had a month off singing anything. That's a challenge, isn't it? This might be the last song you sing for a while. For a month. What is it we're coming here to do? Do we come here to sing happy songs that make us feel glad when we go away, which is good in itself? But is that why we come? Well, we're coming because God's calling us to work together, be fellowship together that looks outwards, holds hands, and leads out into the world. I wonder whether sometimes the music we sing is a little bit like what the Corinthians are doing with their speaking in tongues. That's for you to weigh.